Thank you, Art. I can't see very much without these glasses. I probably couldn't get through the sermon without them. You know, God's blessed us so much with our eyesight, hasn't he? I mean, we've been given the blessing to see his truth in the world around us. And also, we've been blessed with our physical eyesight, those of us who are able to see. Isn't it a true blessing to see the gifts that God has given us as mankind? I have a question for you today. How many of you are into science fiction, and how many have seen the movie They Live? Okay, a few of you have seen that. I don't recommend Hollywood movies very much, and there was definitely some foul language in that one, but it had a very interesting parallel to the sight that we have as Christians today. The movie kind of stuck in my mind. Someone in God's church many, many years ago, because the movie was made back in, I think, 1989, and it's become what they call a science fiction a cult classic, is what they call it. So, but it came from a short story, so I'll give the people proper credit for who produced and directed. That was John Carpenter, and it came from a story based on from Ray Nelson called 8 O'Clock in the Morning. But the movie starts out with this sojourner, so to say. It's a man without a home, and he's wandering, and he stumbles across this strange thing, and he puts on these sunglasses, these glasses, and all of a sudden, the truth is revealed to him on what's really going on in the world around him. Now, in the movie, it was aliens, this alien elite that took over the world from mankind. And they were actually manipulating them by putting some liberal suggestions on things like billboards and signs and on TV and things like obey and everything, so everyone would do everything their way. So in so many ways, that just stuck in my head. It's kind of like what the world is going through today until God has given us the eyes to see his truth. We were walking around in a world that we didn't realize all these things were going on around us, and all these subliminal things that Satan the devil has influenced this world and manipulated man through his ways since the beginning of time. You know, I found it closer to reality than it was to a science fiction movie. But God opened our minds to the seat in the darkness of this world, and there is a difference. There is a difference, and that is that we see the real things that are going on in the world today. Man can't begin to solve his own problems like Satan would like us to think that we do. It's only through the revelation and the sight that Jesus Christ and God the Father have given us. Once God has given us the truth and his ways, we can begin to heal this world from its difficulties, can't we? So are we looking to God for the answers? Do we keep our sight and our eyes opened on God's ways? Do we keep those glasses on, or are we just occasional wearers of the glasses that God has given us? You know, God's given us his word and given us the insight through his word and through his truth, through his Holy Spirit. That's how we get the understanding. Also through the miracles that he's given us in our lives. God reveals who he is through the way he works in us and the plan that he's working through us at this time. You know, the gift of being able to see is just that. It's a gift and it's a blessing that God's given us. We're called to action by this revelation and by the truth that God's given us. And we can see the warped cultures around us. We can see what this world has created, the cultures, the different cultures, the different religions and gods that people worship today through the culture, through music and through art, through movies, and even through the impurity of man's languages, different languages. You know, there's good things in our culture as well. I mean, we have good things in our cultures. We have good art, and there are some good movies, some pretty much documentaries are about all I can find today. But Satan is a deceiver, and he mixes in good and evil together so that he can manipulate the world. You know, brethren, we've been given this gift to see, and we were blind at one time, but now God's given us beautiful eyes, hasn't he? He's given us the beautiful eyes to see, to see the truth and to see our great calling. And that's the title of the sermon today, is Beautiful Eyes. Think for a moment, if you lost your eyesight, you lived in a world of darkness, never seeing the beautiful colors that God created in nature, never being able to see the sun rise over a mountain or to see the sun set on the ocean again. Wouldn't you give anything to get your eyesight back? You know, in a way, that's happened to us at baptism. God gave us that sight, and he even promised to help us. He would give us something in order to get that eyesight back. How much do we value that sight that God's given us? We would value our eyesight to that extent to obey God. Would you not obey God greater if he promised to give you your eyesight back? But he has given us sight. He's given us a special vision, a special sight. And then he says he's going to help us to fulfill that. So we made a promise at baptism. We told God that we would do something with the sight that he's given us, and he'll give us the strength to get there. He's going to give us that with his soul, the Holy Spirit. You know, this is a priceless gift. It's something we can't put a price on. My first scripture today is Psalm 119, verse 18. Psalm 119, 18. Open my eyes that I may see the wonderful things in your law. Now, God's blessed us with the beauty of his law as well. His law protects us. It's not that that's what saved us, but that's what protects us. That's what guides us. That's what gives us blessings and health in our lives. When we were deceived, our minds were hostile against God's way. We didn't want to keep his law. But now we can see the benefits of keeping God's law. We can see the benefits, and we have a desire to do what's right if we're using God's Holy Spirit. Romans 8, 7 says, because the carnal mind is enmity or hostile against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. And we were all that way before we were baptized. We all had a hostility towards God's law. We didn't see that value, that benefit. We didn't have the sight. You know, Satan he's so patiently and cleverly deceived the world today, hasn't he? You know, I can see what he's done through the decades of my life. When I look back and I ponder back in the 60s, the 70s, the 80s and 90s into today, I can see that gradual patience that Satan has had to destroy the morals of our nation, of the world, and to bring this world down through his deceit and perversions. You know, it used to be gradual, and it was subliminal, like when the guy put on the glasses, just obey. But now, today, it's in your face. It is in your face, and if you don't agree to their people's wickedness, there's some ramifications sometimes. There's some negative ramifications. I think it's just going to get worse as we get closer to the end time. You know, we're in Isaiah 5 20 times, where good is being called evil, and evil is being called good. So be prepared for some rough times. This is going to be some rough times for God's people, for those who really believe that these things are not the way to be living. And our media today portrays sex and drugs, foul language, you know. All these are adventurous. It's the right thing to do to commit violence when you feel you're right about something, when you have maybe an extremist view to go out and do something and maybe destroy somebody, knock their head against a wall or destroy their property. You know, this is exactly what Satan wants to do before his end times. He wants to create chaos. He wants to create chaos in the among our cultures and among our nations. So let's see what we can see as human beings. You know, we have a tendency to just see our circumstances around us. We're pretty limited if you compare us to God. Okay, God has an infinity. I mean, his experience, his sight is infinite. There is no beginning and there is no end. How can we compare that to the short time that we're here on earth? How can we compare to the physical sight that we have? I mean, the average human being can see on a level surface with no obstructions, no pollution, no dust, no pollens, no vapors in the air, only 12 miles. 12 miles. That's all we can see. We need to compare that to God's infinite sight and to his infinite insight. You know, he's been around for eternity. We should desire to want to be more like God and to realize that wisdom that he's gathered since there is no beginning. But do we have that desire to want to become more like that all-wise, infinitely wise Creator God? You know, this life will have some unanswered questions for us because of our lack of wisdom, and our mind hasn't been completely open to everything yet. We are still physical. God will show us many more things when we become spiritual beings, I'm sure, and open our minds to a lot more and greater experiences. But there's many things that we're not going to understand in this life. And some of these questions will not be answered until God's kingdom. Some of them may get answered later on in this physical life, but he hasn't given us the answers yet, and they may not be clear again in this life. You know, God gives us some of these things sometimes, these gray areas, to ponder. He wants us to ponder these things, and sometimes they're left to our interpretation. I'm not talking about God's law. I'm talking about some gray areas in our life. There's definitely cut and dry things in God's law. But there are things that he wants us to ponder and think about on our own and with his help. But he's given us a mind to do that. He's equipped us, those who ask and those who want and desire his wisdom. God will fill those gray areas with his intervention many times. He promises that he'll never forsake us, and he promises to give us that vision for the future. When God looks at us, he sees our potential in the future. He doesn't look at us in the here and now. He sees what we can be someday. He sees what we can do and be in his kingdom, and he's doing a wonderful work to plan and prepare for that for us right now. He's doing that today. But we still need to balance and be able to see what we truly are today, our limitations, but yet see what God has potentially for us in his future. We need to balance that out. But we should be energized and thankful for what God is going to do for us in the future and what he's doing for us in our lives now. We need to have that balanced view. We can't be beating ourselves up, but we also can't have a hyperinflated ego as well. Let's take a brief look at a man who had great vision, but he still needed that vision corrected. You can turn to Job 38. Now, Job was a godly man. He was blameless in God's sight, but he still needed his vision corrected. You know, it's recorded, I saw several different counts on this, but I counted 70 questions that God asked Job. Saw various numbers, but I think it was about 70 that God asked Job. Job 38, we'll start in verse 1. Then the Lord answered Job out of a whirlwind and said, "Who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Now prepare yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me." So God tells Job, be a man. I have some rhetorical questions for you. "Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? To what were its foundations fastened? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who shut the sea with doors when it bursted forth and issued from it? From its womb, when I made the clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddled band, when I fixed my limit for it and set bars and doors, when I said, 'This far you may come, but no further, and here your proud waves must stop.' God set boundaries for the seas." How amazing is that? I mean, every time you look across the ocean, you look out at the ocean, I mean, God set those boundaries. He measured those waters. That's an amazing thing. He divided the land using the waters. Have you commanded the morning since your days began and caused the dawn to know its place? So God created the day and the night. Verse 16, have you entered the springs of the sea, or have you walked in search of its depths? You know, I'm going to be going to Andros in the Bahamas, and it's called the Tongue of the Ocean, and it's one of the deepest parts of the ocean, and some of it, they say, is unexplored. Man has never seen that. Have the gates of death been revealed to you, or have you seen the doors of the shadow of death? Have you comprehended the breadth of the earth? Tell me if you know all this. Verse 31, can you bind the cluster of the Pleiades or loose the belt of Orion? You know, God could do that. God can move the stars around if he wants. He created them. Or who can pour out the bottles of heaven when the dust hardens in clumps? So in chapter 42, Job gives his feeble human attempt to answer God. Then Job replied to the Lord, starting in verse 1. I know that you can do all things. No purpose of yours can be thwarted. You asked, who is this who obscures my plans without knowledge? Surely I spoke of things I did not understand. Things too wonderful for me to know. You said, listen now, and I will speak. I will question you, and you shall answer me. My ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. Therefore, I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. So it took Job quite a while to see what kind of a man he was. And yet he was still a blameless man before God. So what was it that Job had to learn? What was it that he had to see? You know, we all have trials in our lives. God might want us to see something. Job didn't see something, and God allowed it to be brought to light. A lot of people assume that it was self-righteousness. On the United site, they actually have a very good article on this, and I'll kind of summarize it. But I didn't see that it was a self-righteousness either, but Job appeared to be questioning God and his goodness through the trial that he was going through. So it was the fact that he was questioning God and his goodness. He said things about God that actually a friend wouldn't say to another friend. Once Job realized what he had done, he showed the humility and deeply repented. He saw himself for who he was, and he realized what he was lacking and that he was opposing God. His eyes were open to his sins. You know, Job even said that he abhorred himself. There's important insights that we can learn from this. And one is that our trials aren't always a result of our own mistakes or our own sins. You know, trials can come from other sources. It could be time and chance. But no matter where the trial is coming from, we shouldn't be blaming God for our trials. Why blame God? Especially since we don't even know where the trial is coming from. Job learned patience, he learned more respect for God, and he learned to trust God in difficult times. I think every one of us need that too. Seeing God's greatness and seeing who he really was can give you a realistic view of life and the lessons that we need to learn. God corrected Job's vision, and he had better vision, and in the end, he was blessed even more for that. Job was restored after all the pain and suffering that he went through. So what about God's eyesight? What about God's sight? Where do you begin with an unlimited eyesight? You know, his view is so much higher and larger than ours. God sits up in the third heaven, all right? We have a heaven, what we call whatever, above the clouds, just right at the clouds. And we have the stars as the heavens. Then God sits up in this heaven that's even farther than that, just way, way out here. And how can we fathom it? He can see his entire creation, everything that he's created. He can see the universes And we don't even know if that goes on for infinity. How do we know if there's an end to his universes? Is there an end? We don't know that, but whatever it is, he can see it all. God is just, his sight is amazing, and his experience. We can't discount the experience that God has. That should bring us to that deep respect that we have for our Father. We can't catch up to God's vast experience in our minds and the knowledge that we take in. Job said in Job 34:21, God's eyes are on the ways of men. He sees their every step. God sees everything that we do. Hebrews 4:13, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. We can't hide from God. He sees it all. We can't hide from him. Even if we don't go to him with our sins, he still knows we sin. He'll see our good works, he sees our bad works, and he'll reward us either way for those. We'll either be rewarded for the good, or we'll pay the penalty for the bad. We've been looking to the heavens for years as mankind. We seem to have this desire to want to look to the heavens, and that's a good thing. I think it makes man ponder his creation. You know, Galileo created that first telescope, or it was called a spyglass, many, many, many years ago, and since then we have been looking to the heavens, trying to search and see if there's life out there, to see the creation. I think the more that scientists see what's out there and see the amazing creation, the less they can deny that there is a creator. Think on this. God sees the billions of people on this earth, everybody running around. I just saw a shadow of a car go by. God knows what that person in that car, knows that person, knows who they are, what they're doing. He can see what everyone's doing at all times. And he can remember what they've done. Just think of what an amazing mind that is that God has. He only forgets things unless he chooses to forget them. And usually that's the sins that we've repented of. That's about all God will forget. Psalm 94, 8 through 10 says, take heed, you senseless ones among the people, you fools, when you will become wise. Does he who implanted the ear not hear? Does he who formed the eye not see? Does he who disciplines nations not punish? Does he who teaches man lack knowledge? God sees and hears everything. He knows all things. His knowledge can let him see the future for the most part. God can predict the future in the sense that he knows us so well and we're so predictable, but he can calculate what we're going to do next. So he doesn't choose, I don't believe he chooses to know the future, but he does have some plans for us in the future. But God can pretty much tell what we're going to do next as human beings. God sees his children, and he cherishes every single one of us that he's called. He keeps track of you and me, even after our death. We have his promise and his guarantee that we'll meet him in the air when Christ returns. We'll see God when he returns. That's a promise. In Psalm 116:15, it says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And I emphasize the word precious. You know, death is the enemy of man, and that'll eventually be permanently taken away someday. It's because God loves his saints. You know, there's going to be a day when the rest of the world will have the opportunity to be his saints as well. And that death will be taken away, and they too will be precious in God's eyes. God has a vision and foresight for our future, and he created that plan to save all humankind. He wants to save us from ourselves and save us from this world. Our preparation time is now, so we need to see clearly at this time so we can grow and so we can enter God's kingdom. I hope this gives us more of a realistic perspective of where we are in God's sight. Do we actually see who we are here and now? You know, Job's sight was corrected, and he was blessed even more than he was before. And as we go through our trials, do we envision and can we improve as well? We can be blessed even more as we go through our trials. It's a blessing to be able to see and use that trial to our own benefit. Job grew closer to God, his sight improved, and Satan's request turned Job into more of a godly man. Satan's request before God's throne turned Job into more of a godly man. It backfired on Satan. It backfired on Satan. And that's what we want to do. We want to make this backfire on Satan. That's exactly what we want to happen. You know, Job certainly experienced pain, grief, sadness, and loss, but in the end, he won and saw God more clearly. You know, and that's a lesson that each and one of us can take from the book of Job. In 1 John 3:2, it says, "Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Jesus appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." What a day that's going to be. What a vision that is for every one of us. What a positive vision that's going to be. We look forward to that future, and we'll see Jesus Christ in his glory and his greatness, and we will join him in spirit at that time. We need to keep that vision in front of us. You know, Jesus Christ is an architect and a builder. He's a creator. He's a master designer. And that's what we're going to be. We're going to be under him doing those same things. So, brethren, do we have double vision? Do we have double vision? We need to make sure that we don't have double vision. If we have double vision, you know, it's recommended medically to seek help immediately if you have double vision. It could be something really serious. And spiritually, it's the same way. We need to seek help immediately when we have double vision. It can be a very serious thing for Christians. We need to see our physician, Jesus Christ, don't we? In James 1, it says in verses 2 through 8, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." That's a warning for us not to be double-minded. We need to be focused and have that single vision. We need to have that vision that Jesus Christ has given us, where he's opened our eyes with the glasses that we have to see. You know, we can't see it both ways. We need to be stable and to get off the fence. So what's going to happen if you're walking that fence? If you're not going to make a decision, eventually you're going to fall off of that fence. You want to make a decision to jump the right way. Otherwise, you're going to fall off the wrong way. And that's not going to be a very, very good ending for us as Christians. We can't be on both sides of the fence. James 4:8, "Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." It's another warning of not to be a double-minded person. Next, if you turn to Matthew 6:24. "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." The double-minded tries to serve two masters. It doesn't work. God won't even allow it. You can't serve God and serve wealth as well, or a sinful life. We can't love the lusts and the wealth of this world and love God at the same time. He expects our all. Our fruits will reveal where our feet are, whether they're in God's church and converted, or if they're in the world. That'll be revealed by the fruits that we produce. How about farsighted and nearsighted? Sometimes we don't view things from the proper perspective. We don't have that perfect 20/20 vision. We either see things clearly close up or not so clearly far off. But we need to see both the things that are near and far as Christians. We need to be able to have the vision to see the future, but we also need to see the things that are close to us as well. If we're nearsighted, we need the glasses to adjust what we see far off, but can see the things that are clearly that are close to us. You know, when we can see things that are close to us, we can react to the situations that are near to us. We need to be in touch with those situations that are around us and do the proper things as God's people. The Pharisees couldn't see what was near them, and that was themselves. They couldn't see themselves for who they were. They couldn't see their inner man. That's as close as you can get, as near as you can get is that inner man. Mark 7, verses 5 through 17. Mark 7, 5 through 17. Then the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands?" He answered and said to them, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written," and that was in Isaiah 29:13. "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men, the washing of pitchers and cups, and many other such things you do." He said to them, "All too well, reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your tradition. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and 'He who curses father and mother, let him be put to death.' But you say, 'If a man says to his father and mother, whatever profit you might have received from me as Corban, that is a gift to God, then you no longer let him do anything for his father and mother, making the word of God of no effect through your tradition, which you have handed down, and many such things you do.' When he had called all the multitude to himself, he said to them, 'Hear me, everyone, and understand. There is nothing that enters a man from outside which can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are the things that defile a man. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear, or has eyes to see, let him see." The Pharisees couldn't see what was happening close to them. They couldn't even see what was happening in their own families, that they were neglecting their parents and yet keeping the commandments of men. They were putting the commandments that were created by men above the commandments of God, and they weren't honoring their father and their mother that was close to them. They also couldn't see how defiled the inner person was of each and every one of them. The Pharisees truly had a problem. Proverbs 26:12. "Do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There's more hope for a fool than for him." And the Pharisees were just that. They were men that were wise in their own eyes. They made law upon law upon law, but they weren't God's laws. They were man-made laws. And the Pharisees, it was their way or the highway to Golgotha, wasn't it? We have so many laws in our nation today that we can't even begin to enforce them. America has become so much like that. You know, men think that making laws is the cure, but that's not the cure. The cure is the heart. It's to clean the heart, and the Pharisees didn't see that. The scripture doesn't talk about how you and I see things and how the Pharisees sees things, does it? It says how God sees it. And that's how we need to start viewing things. We need to see that the way that God created it and see how awesome his mind is and why he gave these instructions to us. Can we see the things that are working in our lives and they're part of God's plan for us? Do we see that? We might not even like what's happening to us at the time, but how are we reacting to those experiences that are happening in our life? Do we get angry? Do we throw a fit of rage? Do we fire off accusations and maybe lie? You know, those are all non-fruits of the Spirit is what I'll call them. Even if God doesn't provide an answer for us in this life of whatever we're going through, we can learn lessons from it. And the insight that God's teaching us through our situations can be turned to a positive. You know, everything that we're going through, God knows. He doesn't always plan. He lets time and chance. It says time and chance happens to everyone. So some things can be just time and chance. If we're going through something difficult, God may be trying to get our attention, though. Did we ever think of that? He might be trying to get our attention. No difficulty is without something of value. And God will work it out in our favor if we're going to him and asking him for that favor. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good to those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." And brethren, you are the called according to his purpose. He'll work out good in the end, no matter what we're going through. Our lives should be filled with the purpose, with a purpose in everything that we do when we truly surrender to God. The fact remains that we'll not have everything revealed in this life, but we sure can turn it around for our own good by the attitude that we take and the approach that we take to the trials that we're going through. In this case, brethren, it is all about you. It's about making you a child of God and his family. And the pains of this life won't even compare to what we'll experience in God's kingdom someday. We have a promising end to the pains and the troubles and the challenges of this life. We have a happy and fulfilling, joyous, not ending, but new beginning. In closing, let's turn to Ephesians 5:10. Ephesians 5:10. Learn as you go along what pleases the Lord. Take no part in the worthless pleasures of evil and darkness, but instead rebuke and expose them. Just like in the movie, the deceit was exposed. It would be shameful even to mention here those pleasures of darkness that the ungodly do. But when you expose them, the light shines in upon their sin and shows it up. And when they see how wrong they really are, some of them may even become children of light. And that's what our hope is for the future, is for more members of God's family and more people in this world to turn to God's way someday. And we look forward to that. That's why God says in the scripture, "Awake, O sleeper, and rise up from the dead, and Christ shall give you light." You know, we look forward to that time that everyone can see. And that'll be a defining moment in history, won't it, for all people. I don't recall how the movie ended, but I do know this about the end for us. In the end, the good guys win, and that's us. In the end, those who see and believe and act on God's way and live his way will defeat the enemy. You know, the United Church of God is handing out eyeglasses for this world to see. Through preaching the gospel in so many ways that we're trying to do, via our magazine, Beyond Today's Show, the internet, and on social media tools, all in an effort so that all people can live someday, happily, joyfully, and in the family of God. Have a great Sabbath.